Hello, this is Frankly Speaking, an informational exchange of relevance to people everywhere. Today's program addresses the subject of women in politics. I'm Helen Ackerman for George Mason University. On November the 3rd, Northern Virginians will go to the polls to elect their representatives to the General Assembly. Of those running for office, seven are women. Some, like Democrat Dorothy McDermott, have been members of the House of Delegates for several terms. Others are running for the first time. To tell us about what moves a woman into the political arena and what problems they face, I have with me two members of this last group. They are Republican Georgia Delianis, who is running for the 22nd District in Arlington County, and Democrat Vivian Watts, who is running for the 51st District in Fairfax County. Vivian, why did you decide to enter politics?
It came after more than 15 years of involvement in the community, something that I started when the children were napping in the other room, to stay involved, to stay alive, to stay active. I began much of my work with the League of Women Voters back before we had public kindergartens, before we had community colleges, and certainly before George Mason. And my involvement then in politics, with a capital P, has come only recently. I ran 2 years ago after having actually decided that I would not run for office, despite the fact that I had been approached by both parties to enter into politics. I had carefully decided that now my children were on their way off to college. I had 20 years ahead of me, but I made the decision that while I was hooked on government, very deeply involved with making sure that government works, I felt that my strength lay in the research that I had done, in digging in there to document the kind of data that we need to solve many of our difficult problems. But when no one had filed against Jack Herity 2 years ago for chairman of the board's race, I was persuaded to enter that race simply, at least this was my motivation, simply to keep the system honest.
Georgia, how about you?
Well, I started in politics back in the 60s, but my involvement in my community started before that. I've been a resident of Arlington for 28 years. I've been in business with my husband, who has an engineering firm in Arlington, a homeowner, children going to the public schools in Arlington. I was a member of the executive board of the PTA, a public school volunteer aide, on the PTA Council in Arlington, and in many civic and charitable organizations. I've on the board of many of those organizations. I did this, like as Vivian said, when the children were napping, I was stuffing envelopes. I was licking stamps. That's when my husband first got involved. As the children got older, then I could leave for a couple of hours. I always made sure I was home when they were home, when they got home from school. Even though my mother was there, I felt I had to be there too. But slowly and slowly, I got more involved and more involved. I was president of the Arlington Republican Women's Club for 2 years. I was the 10th District Representative for the Virginia Federation of Republican Women. I too felt, after all of these years of working in other campaigns, and it's an every year thing in Virginia. Every year, you know, as you go on, you say, this year I'm not going to do it, and this year you're still there. That now that my children are older, I felt it's time for me to become the candidate. And it is a whole new ball game.
Vivian, what do you think you learned out of your trial by fire running against Jack Herity?
Let me start on a very positive note. I certainly enjoyed the experience tremendously, and the enjoyment came as you realize that to be effective, you really had to draw from within yourself all of the experiences of a lifetime. And this has really been one of the most psychologically healthy things I have done, because so many of us live in a very narrow spectrum of what's applicable today to our way of living. But as you're reaching out to senior citizen groups and you're reminded of your great aunt Edna, who would never take a ride anywhere because of her pride and would spend hours taking the bus so that she could be independent, As I have worked down in the State General Assembly these last 2 years as a legislative aide to Dorothy McDermott, calling on the fact that I'm not a city girl, I'm a farm girl, and being able to relate some of those things that you share in common about working in the field and the freedom of the outdoors. The fact that my father had worked all of his life on the Great Lakes gives me an appreciation for the feeling of the watermen. All of these things being able to draw from within and finding the cohesiveness in what you are as a person has really been one of the most rewarding aspects of it. The negative side has to be the personal demands, the hours that you are away from the family, seeing your husband, seeing your kids for just a few moments before they go to bed, and making sure that you make some time, but still it's always just a little window in the very busy schedule and demands of campaigning.
Well, now, of course, a man also faces these things. Mm-hmm. He doesn't see his wife and children, but somehow mm-hmm. there's a difference about the man not seeing his wife and children and the woman not seeing her husband and children. Georgia, what do you think about this business of being a woman in politics? Do you think there's a difference?
You know, that's hard to answer. Yes and no. The difference is the name and the physical makeup. I don't think it would be any different if my name was George or Georgia.
You don't feel you run into any prejudice from the voters?
I haven't up until now. Now, maybe again, I'm being naive. There might be some, but I think the people that know you and your qualifications, because I'm not in this because I'm a woman, and it's time for a woman.
Right.
And it's our, no. I'm in it because I feel I am qualified, again, if my name were George.
Or Georgia.
But thank goodness, mm-hmm. it's Georgia.
What about you, Vivian?
I certainly couldn't agree more with the final comment that 18 years of experience speak very loudly. But there is an initial block that I have run into in a number of circumstances in getting the message across of how qualified I am. I'm thinking in particular of one incident I ran into going door to door. I've been out every night since the 1st of July, about 3 or 4 hours a night knocking on doors, and I ran into this one, I always use the word gentleman, but this is who literally shouted me off his property in no uncertain terms. He was just shaking his fist. No woman belonged in politics. Oh, my place was home, taking care of my family. It did not matter that they were now in college. His kids were 30 and 35, and his wife's place was home, taking care of him. And just was delivering this at the loudest possible voice, and also consistently. And this comes from both males and females. It's by no means is limited just to the male reaction. So frequently I get the question of who are you working for? What is your husband doing with the office? What are his chances? And this, again, comes from all age ranges. It will come from the young people. It will come from the woman at the bank that I was talking to just yesterday. And she flushed a little bit when I said that I was running, but it is a very common response and is something that is that initial block that you then, with warmth and friendliness, take absolutely no exception to it. And frequently then, if I can turn the disadvantage to an advantage, frequently then they are embarrassed enough that they are more than anxious to hear about the background and qualifications that I possess.
When you get to the General Assembly, if you could just tell us briefly what you hope to achieve.
I can't say that in the first year you're going to achieve too much, and if they do this to us, that this is a one-year thing, which I think is such a folly that the courts declared it. They all knew it was going to be declared unconstitutional, but I found it very unfair that they made it a one-year term. I hope they can turn that around. It's going to be terrible for all of us, Democrats and Republicans alike. Mm. I would like to work in the area of the women to get, as I said before, these inequities out and do more things on behalf of women. Also, to see We have, as I said, the Metro, the funding of Metro. I would like to see that go on statewide instead of being slapped on us here in Northern Virginia only. Yesterday, the paper itself said that the Metro regional tax has caused the business for our gasoline dealers to fall considerably. Crime is the number one social issue. And I think we have to do more about this terrible embarrassment in the state of Virginia. Crime has gone up. See that the parole and the bail laws are changed and made stiffer. I think schools, let's get back to basics in our schools and discipline in the schoolroom. It's hurt us. It's hurt our children. It's hurt our teachers. Very much want to see that the block grants that we're going to get from the federal government go into the proper programs. Absolutely. The elderly, the handicapped, the schools. And how are we going to make those up? Take them from the ones that have more than enough. Some of these programs have an overabundance of money, and take that and put it into the ones that are needed.
Well, I can see you're planning a very busy first year in the General Assembly.
As I said, I hope it's not only one year.
Yes, I'm sure everybody who's running hopes that. And you, Vivian.
Yes, well, one of the problems that we do face is that having just one year session, it cuts into the ability to have carryover legislation, which is the way in which the most important and significant bills are generally handled. In our very short sessions, there's not enough time to give full consideration so that you carry them over into the next year. And this will be severely cut back, not only this next year, but the year after. Nevertheless, I do plan to introduce legislation so that the issue is put before my colleagues in the General Assembly on changing the way in which we receive funds for secondary road construction, which is such a key issue in my district, which covers the Springfield and Annandale, much of the growth area of Fairfax County, and has led directly to the can of worms that we have ended up with in this Springfield bypass controversy, because we have not received the secondary road funds that we should have received to meet the individual road needs as they have come along. Instead, we receive about 7% of the secondary road funds when we have 22% of the vehicle miles that are traveled on our secondary roads. I will also be introducing legislation, and I would predict that this should be able to get through in one session, and that is to clarify the feeling on the part of school authorities, and particularly the classroom teacher, concerning their ability to tell a parent when they suspect drug use. That as long as we have teachers in our schools who feel that they cannot say a single word to the parent unless they have evidence that would stand up in the court of law, we have a tremendous communication block in an extremely important area. I also am anxious that we approach again the bill that failed in the Senate last session to correct the inequity in our inheritance laws, which would give only one-third of the estate to the surviving spouse whenever someone dies without a will, so that we find the situation where children might inherit, if there's only a single child, two-thirds of the estate, and the recognition of the partnership of marriage is given no credence.
It sounds like you've also got a busy program for your first year. Thank you both very much for being with us today. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University. Production coordinator Pat Ping. For information about our guests or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Helen Ackerman for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.